This morning we're going to do a little different. We're going to talk through why we do what we do. Since we're in a new building and a kind of a new chapter of Heritage Baptist Church, kind of closing out one chapter and entering into a new chapter, I thought we'd start out, kind of fill out the space, kind of think through why do we do what we do. And so I'm going to start by reading Ezra 8, chapter 21. Ezra 8:21 was the first verse that we read in this assembly 7 years ago, and it kind of is a good guide, because as the Lord granted us repentance and we started to confess our sin, and there was a number of families praying. I was in Pennsylvania, and there's a number of families praying out here to start a church. The Lord definitely answered our prayers. And Ezra 8:21 says this: "Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river Ahava, that we might humble ourselves before our God to seek Him the right way for us and our little ones and all our possessions." And so as we gather here together, we want to humble ourselves and ask the Lord the right way to go for us, for our little ones, and for our possessions. So all the most meaningful things in our life are us and our children and the stuff that we have. We want to humble ourselves before God and ask Him to show us the right way to go. So join with me in prayer as we pray that. God, we ask this morning, we humble ourselves before You. We confess, Lord, we need help for You to show us the right way to go. We ask in Christ's name that You be pleased to show us the right way to go as we ask You for us, for our little ones, and to use the stuff that You've given us to advance Your kingdom. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. The question I want to focus in on was, what should the church do when it gathers? What should the church do when it gathers? We're talking about the public meeting of the church. When the church is gathered together in that public meeting, what does the church do? And of course, to answer that question, we're going to look to Scripture. In other words, if all we had was the Bible to guide us, what would we do on the Lord's Day? If all we had was Scripture, what would we do? And to answer that, we want to be an authentic church. We want to be an authentic church. An authentic church, the word authentic means it corresponds to the original. So if all you had was Scripture, how would you live your life? Right? That's the sufficiency question. We believe in the Bible, and so we're taking that and we want to flush that out in our experience as a local New Testament church. So if all we had was Scripture, what would we do on the Lord's Day? And our prayer is that we would be authentic. That is, we would have a correspondence between our experience today, living in this century, all the way back through, to match the experience of the first century. Hey guys, you guys in the back, come on forward. You're back there too far. I need binoculars to see you. Come on up in here. Integrate. So anyway, that's how we want to answer this. We're actually filling the place up, which is good. We want to have an authentic experience which corresponds to the original. So as we ask the Lord and seek Him for wisdom, turn with me to Acts 2. We go to that, the beginning of the church. We start with that first century church and see what it is that they did and pattern our day, our lives after Scripture. So in Acts chapter 2, it all started with a prayer meeting. In Acts 2:14, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with His brothers. So we have a mixed company of men and women together praying. That would begin the nucleus of the church. And so what happened was to baptize the church into existence is the Holy Spirit. So, of course, Jesus Christ just died, rose again. The Holy Spirit comes and brings that baptism, that baptized believers into the body of Christ, spiritually speaking. So in Acts chapter 2, we see when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And so we see the Spirit coming in a mighty display of His power, that the gospel now is going to all people, and they spoke miraculously in tongues, languages, and everybody heard it. They could hear in their own dialect the praises of God. And so when that is happening, Peter gets up, and what do we have? What does he do? Peter gets up and he preaches God's word. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said, "Men of Judah and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words." And he preaches the word. So what do we have here? We have a small group of people gathering for prayer. We have the presence of the Holy Spirit working. We have the preaching of God's word. And we have the reception of God's word by faith. In Acts 2:36, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." So the message was Christ-centered, drawing from many of the Old Testament prophecies. This has been fulfilled in Christ. He's going to point attention to who Jesus is. And they received it by faith. So we have a small group of people gathered together, the power of the Holy Spirit, the preaching of God's word, and the reception of the word by faith. There's our beginning of the New Testament church. "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?' Then Peter said to them, 'Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit.'" Repent. Recognize what you are doing is wrong and believe the truth. And to evidence that by baptism, which evidences your faith. So there's the boundary. What will the boundary, what will the marker be for this church? Baptism, association, immersion, identification with Jesus Christ, His death, burial, and resurrection. They repent of sin. Sin is the problem that separates us from God. This promise is for them. It's a multi-generational promise. "For this promise is for you and your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord your God will call." And many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received his words were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. So now this nucleus just exploded. It's growing. Now, what did they do? What did they do? Think of all of the things that go for church today. Think of all of the programs and entities and experiences and all of the stuff that happens in church, right? What did they do? Did they gather together and set up committees? Did they gather together and set up programs and youth groups and on and on, all of these different ways to do ministry? What did they do? Acts 2:42 gives us a glimpse, gives us a bullseye glimpse of magnification into this church. "And they continued steadfastly." That word steadfastly means they focused in on this and they did not let it go. So they focused in continually on this. And here's going to be four things given. Sound doctrine, the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking bread, and prayers. They wore these things out. They focused. They remained steadfast. They did not budge off of these things. And so I would suggest that an authentic church, a church that is in continuity with that early church, would have these things in common. There would be prayer. There would be the Holy Spirit working. There would be the preaching of the word, the context. And there should at least be a steadfast commitment on the Lord's day to the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, breaking bread and prayers. "Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common. They shared their stuff. They worked together. They cared for one another's needs. And sold their possession and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple," so they have large group meetings, "and breaking bread from house to house," small group meetings, They had their large group where they all gathered together publicly, and then they also met house to house. What do we do? What is our pattern? We gather together publicly on the Lord's Day, and then we meet house to house midweek for hospitality and fellowship, for a variety of discipleship meetings and things like that. So continually daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. Simplicity, again, the focus. Our approach to New Testament Christianity is very simple. It's not complicated. We don't have a lot of stuff. We keep it very simple. And that's our focus. Praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who would be saved. So that's what we're going to look at this morning. We're going to add another one. We're going to add in singing, because we see that as an aspect of authentic worship on the Lord's Day. So we're going to look at those four, plus we're going to add singing in there. Why do we do what we do? So Brother Mar is going to come up, and he's going to talk about why do we sing. Father, help us to understand the weight of Scripture, the pattern of Scripture, that we keep the sound pattern of Scripture and work that out on the Lord's Day in the meeting of the church. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.